Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gelly, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holdings conference call to present and discuss the 3 months 2023 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holdings management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas. I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holdings, and I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Marcos Bitsakos. We are here to present you the financial results of the first quarter of 2023 and answer your questions. Now we'll give the microphone to Mr. Marcos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Marcos Bitsakos, Quest Group Chief Financial Officer. Based on our seasonality track record, the first quarter of each year is the lowest quarter as far as revenues and profit before tax. Breaking down this first quarter of the year, we saw that it started with a strong January, followed by a weak February, and ending with a relatively good March. So we do not see a steady pattern so far. EBITDA for the quarter is stronger by almost 15%, while earnings before tax seems to be slightly lower due to last year's capital gains amounting to 1.3 million derived from the sale of our participation in Acusonus. Excluding this capital gain impact, earnings before tax is higher by 8.6% versus the previous year. Moving into the actual numbers now, in the three-month period of 2023, total consolidated revenues reached 286 million euros, increased by 20% versus last year. This double-digit increase versus the previous year derives primarily from the large sale increase of Apple ecosystem, followed by the rest of the commercial companies, alongside, of course, with financial services and courier business. Consolidated EBITDA amounting to almost 20 million euros, 19.5 million, is expanded by 15% versus last year. As I said earlier, consolidated earnings before tax amounting 13.6 million seems to be slightly lower by 2.2% versus last year due to the last year's capital gains amounting 1.3 from the sale of our participation in Acusonus. So I'm saying again that excluding this capital gain impact, earnings before tax is higher on a like-for-like basis by 8.6%. Earnings after tax and non-controlling interest reached 10 million euros on the same level with the corresponding quarter 2022. Lastly, Quest Group ended up this quarter with a net cash of circa 15.8 million compared to 28.7 million net cash by the end of 2022. Now, as always, I will pass you over to Alexandros, who will give us the analysis of the sector overview.
Now, diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the commercial services segment, a commercial activity segment, consisting of five main companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, Quest Online, and several newcomers, namely ClimaQuest, Yev, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus, continue to grow by 22% at the sales level, while EBT increased by 3.8% year over year, mainly affected by increased interest rates and depreciation. IT services sector sales, consisting mainly of Unisystems, also improved by roughly 20%, while its EBT grew by about 10%. Postal services, which is ACS, grew by roughly 9% in sales and in EBT, assisted by the growth of e-commerce. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales also grew slightly in sales with improved profitability. Now let me pass over to Apostolos to provide the outlook.
Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Georgantzis, Quest Group CEO. As has already been explained by Marcos and Alexandros, all our segments grew during the first quarter, while many of them presented double-digit growth in sales and profitability. To be more precise, all segments' sales and EBITDA grew during the first quarter. During the first quarter, we achieved a positive start into 2023, aligned with our initial estimations for the whole year, as both consolidated sales and profitability grew at an aligned pace. Now, in more detail per sector, the outlook for the whole year is the following. Regarding the commercial activity sector, for the whole 2023, we estimated growth in sales and similar to last year EBT. Furthermore, we have proceeded with an expansion of our Xiaomi operations in Romania, as well as to other niche areas, such as the Epaphos acquisition just announced a few days ago, increasing Quest Group footprint. Regarding the IT services sector, this segment is continuing to be positively affected by the strong demand in IT services, while it has a high backlog of signed projects which exceeds 500 million. Therefore, double-digit sales growth and improved profitability is estimated for the whole 2023. Going to the postal services sector, our estimations for the 2023, the whole year, includes a growth in sales and profitability, mainly driven by e-commerce growth. Finally, for the renewable energy production sector, our estimation for the whole year is for a mild growth driven mainly by 2022 and 2023 investments. Therefore, on a consolidated basis, our estimation for the whole year is positive regarding revenues and profitability, which are estimated to grow at a pace similar to that of 2022. This estimation has always been validated by the course of the first quarter. It has to be noted that Quest Group's current cash position is solid, with well above 200 million in cash and available credit lines, which allows us to continue our planned investments and endure hardships. Therefore, we continuously pursue M&As in order to further promote our growth. An example of this M&A expansion and strategy is the acquisition of Epaphos, which is a small IT company operating in the vertical education market, offering a variety of services spreading out from digital transformation platforms to specialized edu equipment. This acquisition provides Quest with an extended footprint in the education sector, a very promising sector, taking into account the upcoming RRF investments to modernize the infrastructure of the public school. Now, let me pass back to Alexander.
Thank you, Apostole. That was our brief overview of the first 3 months of 2023, as well as the outlook for the full year. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question is from the line of Svidriadi Natalia with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I was wondering if we could have a bit more details in per segment. I was thinking on the commercial activities, very strong growth. Where did this come from? Is it only from Apple products, Klima, the addition of Klima, which wasn't there last year? A bit more, you know, what we should be expecting in the summer period. I know you say we are expecting similar growth to last year, but we are higher already in Q1 with a weak February, as you said. So I was wondering where we're going there. This is a question on commercial activities. On the IT services, I was wondering on the increasing backlog and the implementation horizon there. Are we seeing any delays there, or is this just because, you know, the projects are growing very quickly? There are many projects coming in, so the backlog will go up in the next like couple of years and then go down again. And on the ACS, I was also wondering on the improving margin, on the improvement we saw in Q1. Is this a sustainable, seasonal? Is there a reason there? Thank you very much.
Thank you for the questions, Natalia. I'll answer the first one about the commercial services segment. Yes, indeed, we have a very high growth on the first Q. The main reasons for that is, first of all, the Apple growth of the segment in the first of Apple business, actually, in the first quarter. There was also, I could say, a split over from last year, where there was a great number of iPhones that were not delivered, so there was a split over of delivery and invoicing of Apple products, mainly iPhones, on the first quarter. And we also have a very high growth on the Klima sector, mainly air conditioning, due to the subsidy, the public subsidy program, Mexikonomo Katikon, for the consumers who are subsidized to buy and install air conditioning for their homes. So these two reasons these two factors are the reason that have grown the revenue of the commercial segment that much in the first quarter. Now about Unisystems, Apostolos respond.
Yeah, regarding Natalia, the second question, which was regarding the backlog of the IT services sector in Unisystems, I understood that the question was how you see the increase of backlog affecting the business, and what about the RRF?
Yes, to be honest, will this go very high up, you know, as we go ahead?
The truth is that as the business grows, we see also the demand is growing all this previous time. Therefore, some of the backlog is coming from RRF. Some of the backlog comes from abroad as well, which is also a big part of the revenues, about 50%, if you recall, in this segment. Mm-hmm. Just to have in mind that the RRF backlog, which I think exceeds 100 million, still during even the first quarter, we haven't booked any revenue, or if we have booked some, it was very little. Therefore, there are some delays in the RRF, but we expect that this is going to run at a better pace in the coming months and during the next year. Therefore, we see that the backlog is healthy, let's say, if that's the question. I understand.
Yes. How is it piled up, and if there are, you know, delays? Okay, so it's healthy. That's good.
Part of it, about 40% comes from abroad. About more or less on a rough split, if you would like to say, about 40% comes from outside Greece. About a quarter comes from more or less from RRF, and the remaining from the public, from the remaining private and public sector.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
And the third question was, what about the improvement of profitability of the third sector, which is the courier and postal and ACS?
Yes.
And you're right, we have a small improvement in the margin during the first quarter. And this is due to the fact that we are, since the mid of last year, we're operating in the new installation of ACS in Egaleo, in the very modern new hub with advanced operational capabilities. And this helps us also to streamline OPEX, therefore improving EBITDA slightly. This is the reason.
Okay, so this could be sustainable because the new, yes, of the new hub.
Yes, and we have mentioned that in the past, that as time passes and we're operating on a more steady way in the new installation, we'll be able to streamline any additional costs. And imagine still we're running at, in the first quarter, we ran at quite high transportation costs, because during the first quarter, the energy prices were still at quite high levels. Therefore, hopefully, we're going to see some ease out of this cost in the future.
Okay, that's, can I have a follow up on this ACS? I was wondering if the boxes, not the last mile, but you know, delivery in boxes is helpful on your operating expenses, or is it, you know, the same as they grow and more customers, you know, deliver get deliveries in boxes?
Yeah, you're talking about the lockers, I assume.
Lockers, when yes, I don't remember. Yeah, okay. The lockers.
Yes, these automated lockers, we're growing now, we're building, rolling out a network of lockers. We have in operation more than 100 EQC, 120 at the moment. They're growing and the demand is growing, but still it's not very big. It's a small part in terms of the total volumes. It's less than, less than 1% is still delivering through these boxes. More and more people are using them, but still the usability is at a very small percentage compared to the total volumes. And this is not just something that happens to SAS, it's the overall market usability more or less. However, this model requires initial investments in the lockers, which is not insignificant. But once operating and you manage to fill them at, let's say, more than 56 or 70% of their capacity, you're starting getting significant operational benefits because the cost of delivering to these boxes is relatively lower to the delivery at home. But still, we're not there. We need some time until the penetration of the delivery in the lockers is to that level. Still, we're at, let's say, around 15 to 20% of the capacity of the boxes.
Okay, that was very helpful. That was it was what I was thinking, that as they grow, maybe this will help OPEX. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
It will, but needs time.
It needs time, yes, definitely. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Maxime Thibault with Gay-Lussac Gestion. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. Congrats on a great quarter. Just a quick question. Could you remind, maybe, could you explain again the difference between the EBITDA and the EBT on the commercial activities? You mentioned higher financing costs and depreciations. Can you maybe tell us a bit more on that front? My second question would be on the specifically on the Unisystem missions related to the UE. From my understanding, this is how disrupted can this activity be by the new artificial intelligence and GPT-4 activities for the group? Thanks. Hello?
So, hi, this is Markus Bitsakos. I will try to answer the first question. To be very honest, we didn't hear very clearly your second question, so you're gonna have to repeat it afterwards. So as far as the commercial segment and the difference between EBITDA and earnings before taxes, the percentages, of those two figures, I remind you that the difference, we have repeatedly said that the difference for the whole 2023 will be significant, and it is due to the higher depreciation and the interest rates that went up almost double than the interest rates that we had last year. The depreciation are directly linked with the new investments that the commercial sector have done last year for our new logistic centers. And this is the pattern that we're going to see for the whole year or the years to come. At least, as far as the interest rate is concerned, until the time that interest rates will start having a deceleration, let's say.
Okay. How much debt is there, like in the various commercial activities entities right now?
Can you repeat your question?
How much debt is there right now in the commercial activities, different entities?
Somewhere in the range of 70 million, something like that.
Yes, but if you see, just this apostolos, if you see our presentation, which is already available on the website, you could see that the net debt of the whole activity is 43 million.
Yeah, this is the net debt.
Yeah. Overall, the debt is about 70, but we also have cash. So for the net, the net is 43.
Well, the difference is that the cash is not producing any income, or if it produces an income, it's a very low margin, let's say. On the contrary, the interest rates are more than double than last year.
So this is floating rate debt, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, my second question was on the IT systems, the Unisystems activities for the European Union. How disruptable are these type of missions by the new technologies that are coming into the market, like GPT-4, etc.?
Okay, this is Alexandros. Thank you for your question. It's actually a very nice question. We can't predict the future, of course, and how fast AI will move. For the moment and for the foreseeable future, actually our business in the European Union involves some sophisticated architecture of systems, and of course the implementation, the development of these sophisticated systems. So for the foreseeable future, this cannot be performed by regenerative AI such as ChatGPT. In fact, we see not just in Unisystem, we have a lot of developers, and some of them are using ChatGPT to generate some simple code, but this is done to actually accelerate their everyday work and their business. But for the moment, we don't see that this can disrupt their everyday job by generating code by itself, that much sophisticated code. So for the foreseeable future, again, I say, we don't see our business being disrupted by GPT-4. Of course, we cannot predict how fast this can evolve and what can happen after 5 or 10 years.
Okay. If I may have a few more questions regarding ACS. To my understanding, the first semester of 2022 was a bit obviously lagging in terms of volumes because of e-commerce drops. I would have expected maybe more growth considering the easier comparable basis on the first half of this year. Does that mean that we should expect a lower growth coming into the second semester due to the higher comparison basis?
Yeah, the first quarter of 2022 was, we had an open market, therefore it was a normal period. We had an abnormality during the previous year, during the first half of the year of 2021. Therefore, the comparison of 2023 first quarter versus 2022 is normal, and we see a growth which is of the order of just below 10%, which is a normal growth. We expect that this growth could continue. We see some, we would have expected, should the cost of inflation for the consumptions would have been, let's say, less, we would have been expecting a higher growth in the market. But all this has also to do with the retail growth. Therefore, most of the growth comes from the, I would say, from the higher penetration of e-commerce versus retail. We estimate that there is a pressure, that was a pressure during the first quarter coming from the higher inflation which affects consumption.
Okay. From my understanding, you had last year passed on some price increases that was not the case for the rest of the market. How are the dynamics in terms of market share and pricing right now on your side related to the competition on ACS?
Yes, it's a very competitive market. Of course, ACS is the leader. It was one of the first companies implementing increase of high of rates in the beginning of the year. I think that others have also implemented them, but they implemented them in different times of the year, usually after 12 months of the previous changes. It's a very competitive market. We have the feeling that we have gaining some market share in the market, but the whole market is moving not so fast as I explained due to the consumption pressure during the first quarter. Therefore, we assume that the market, or we estimate that the market is moving lower than ACS, and ACS is gaining some share.
Okay. And finally, last question after
numbers,
that.
The numbers are not, let's say, strong double-digit yet. Therefore, it's any changes or, let's say, any differences are relatively small in terms of percentages.
Got it. Thanks. Last question, and then I leave the floor for other people. You've now came back to a nice net cash position, obviously excluding the acquisition of Epaphos. You mentioned you want to stay active. Could we maybe have a bit more details on the different segments? I think last year you were mentioning that obviously you wanted to reinforce the IT system segment, but other than that, you've took some nice opportunities to add capacities to the renewable segment. Can you tell us a bit what's on the table right now in terms of what's available on the market and the strategy axis you're willing to take in terms of M&A?
Okay, let me start. This is Markus again. Let me start from your last question about Quest Energy and the plans that we have. As we always say, Quest Energy has a strategy of searching the market for potential acquisition of photovoltaic parks. Apart from this, we are also in the process of building our own, some of our own photovoltaic parks, like Greenfield project, let's say. We're going to be in the position of giving more details, most likely on the second quarter of this year. The problem with the energy sector here in Greece nowadays is the grid. I mean, to give you an example, we have ready for being connected 8 small photovoltaic parks from late December of 2022, which are not still connected with the grid. We are ready to do so, but we are still waiting for being connected, let's say. So this is a huge delay on for new parks, not only photovoltaic parks, but in general renewable energy parks.
It's a bureaucracy, let's say, delay that we have, but it's going to happen. But it takes some time.
Okay.
And regarding these apostolos, the first part of the question, which was what is our strategy be with regard to the M&As and inorganic growth. At the moment, what we're seeing during the last period is that we're searching for niche smart markets within the segments in which we operate that would bring us value or bring us, let's say, knowledge and capability in vertical markets, such as the ones we've done in the end of 2021. We acquired Intelli, which is a specialist with digital onboarding platforms. Now we moved with Epaphos. Epaphos is a specialist in the educational IT system markets, and hopefully we're going to be able to extend to other similar M&As in the markets in which we operate, and this is our strategy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgatsis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Dear all, we'd like to thank you for your participation and the interest to our company and its prospects. Have a nice afternoon.